It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Fred, we got a 10-pound shove, get a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man, community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
Avery.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe.
I digress.
And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of the dogger. Just sup for yourself. Make it enough.
Sup, hot. And tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's That Podcast.
Welcome to That Podcast, episode 47. I'm your co-host, Joe Lynn, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell me what time it is.
1989, so I'm listening to NPR this morning.
Yes.
And Chuck D and Ernie Isley are chatting together.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that Public Enemy got this from an Isley Brothers song from 1976. I was intrigued and very happy to have that knowledge now.
That's good. Well, I'm glad we know where that sample came from, because I like that song a lot. I like Public Enemy a lot. So, well, right, welcome on. In.
Hey, didn't you tell me you were listening to a documentary?
About I did, yeah. It worked. BBC or somebody made a documentary about Public Enemy and how they started and everything, and it was pretty fascinating. And the thing I took away from it was that when they started, they were all like 10 years older than everybody. Everybody wow. they were around, because they had been, because they had seen the shit, right? They had seen the 60s and the civil rights, everything, and blah 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 blah. Like, you know, they lived through that. Whereas
so
some of their younger
give a message where correct. Everybody else was just like doody doody.
Exactly. Everybody's like, you know, doom 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 doom. Right. Exactly.
And that was no shit.
Fresh. Yeah.
I love the lady.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, welcome in to this episode of It's That Podcast. We got things. We got stuff. That we have to attack with speed and quickness. First things first.
Yes.
We got a Bears loss, unfortunately. 30-27 in overtime. They deserve to lose that game, so not super surprised. And I was listening to the old capper, Catman, the day after.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Dan Wiederer. They were interviewing about the Bears game and stuff. And Kaplan goes, you know, which phase of the game would you say got the blame for this one? Because I'm going to blame the defense.
What?
That's what he said. That was a quote.
So do you still have a knob on your radio? Or do you think I would have broken mine off right there?
Yeah. It was, I'm like, Chase Daniel fumbled 4 times and had 2 picks.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how that's the defense's fault.
Exactly.
Including a pick six.
This is where I'm at with that. Mitch would have won that game.
Yeah.
But that game didn't matter. Mitch could have played in that. Grody said that Mitch was cleared to play in that game and they held him out.
Okay.
Like they held out Allen Robinson an extra week.
Yeah.
And because they had there's a luxury to do that.
Right. Exactly. And not only that, but like, In the big scheme of things, it didn't really matter because every team in the division lost.
Right.
So in the end,
I mean, if they were, let's say they would have lost to the Vikings, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
Mitch plays that game.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, but they did. I mean, they could. It's like, let's go out there, give it our best effort, and try to win it. But if we don't, we're all right.
Yeah, exactly. So Chase Daniel, not a good day. His passer rating 75.3, 26 of 39, 285, a touchdown, 2 picks, sacked 5 times.
Yeah.
Your leading receiver.
If you're Kaplan, you point the finger at the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but your leading receiver was Tariq Cohen, and it wasn't even close. That can't happen.
No.
You have a plethora of receivers to throw to. Right?
The smallest cat on the field, your leading receiver, yeah. And he has the same amount of touchdowns thrown as you.
Correct. He has he had 12 catches for 156 yards.
Yeah, man.
He, as great as that is, and I'm glad somebody got those catches or something, he can't do that and expect to win, right?
No.
I don't think so.
He's going to die.
Yeah, I know. Your next closest receiver was Allen Robinson, 5 catches, 79 yards, and then 3-2-2-1-1, just dink, dunk, dink, dunk, dink, dunk.
Do you get extra yardage for catching it off a cat's helmet?
No, no, you don't get extra.
No, for that. They don't give you.
That'd extra be sweet if you could, though.
Yeah.
Leading tackler.
That catch was ridiculous.
I know it was. Dude. It kind of was. Danny Trevathan, 8 tackles, 2 helpers. Roquan Smith, a close second, 7 tackles, 3 helpers, and the defensive MVP of the game, Akeem Hicks. 6 tackles, yeah, a sack, a pass defense, and a rushing touchdown.
Yes.
New nickname, the Freezer, apparently.
Oh, nice. I like that better than Fridge 2.0.
He's got a thing. He's the Freezer. So I think he's far bigger than the Fridge was.
I was concerned. Well, not, I don't want to say concerned. Yeah. I was angry
yeah.
that they didn't bring him out there to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that second, play, second yes, and yes.
Second goal.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Yeah.
Because it wasn't that anybody was surprised. It wasn't like a gimmick play.
Right.
I mean, he just is a big motherfucker, and he ran your ass over.
Right. So what you do is
you'll do it again.
You do I formation.
Yeah.
And put him in the lead and just make a fucking hole.
Right.
That's it. And then
last night.
Yeah.
With Belushi and Rob Lowe, mm-hmm. when they're in the bar, and he's like, I'll be the Fridge, you be Peyton. And they cut through the bar.
Well, like, you put Tariq, that's the time you put Tariq Cohen behind him.
Yeah.
So nobody can see him. Literally. Right. You won't be able to see him.
Yes.
You don't know which way he's going because you know where Hicks is going, but you don't know where he's going.
Lucky charms.
So, Coach Nagy, if you're listening, if you want to throw that in, that'd be great for everybody involved.
Big fan of the show.
Correct. So that's going to about sum it up for that game. There's not much more to talk about, really. You know, that game was just kind of trash.
Except for the timeout. 99 on the Ram.
And the timeout.
Oh.
The timeout at the end of the first half, I wanted to throw things.
Boo.
I was not happy about that. Like, why would you do that? Why would you stop the clock on a team that you have down that needs every second they have to try to score, and then you call timeout? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And it held true. Every win up until the Giants game.
Yeah.
Every loss the Bears had, they had a double-digit lead.
Yeah.
And they had the lead and the Giants lost. So every game they've lost, they've led at one point.
Yeah, they were up 14-7 before the field goal. So
right.
The next thing I want to talk about, Jason, is something that's probably going to make you mad. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. My days all blur together. I believe yesterday, the hated St. Louis Cardinals acquire Paul Goldschmidt for a ball bag and some peanuts.
Yeah, they got 3 players, but yeah. I don't know that any of them.
I think one of them was
had a shot pretty at being big, as good as Goldschmidt.
One of them is a 25-year-old minor leaguer.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you need to say about that.
Yep.
One of them, I think, is a decent prospect, and the other one
was his name Crash Davis?
Yeah, exactly. And there's another one that's like a utility infielder that can play pretty much anywhere. But that's going to create problems.
Man. Yeah, the Diamondbacks are doing what everybody in baseball is doing. Nobody wants to be in the middle.
Yep.
They either want to go for a title or they want to go for the first pick in the draft.
Exactly. And the problem is the Cubs, two of their best pitchers are left-handed.
Yeah.
Lesta. Oh, my God. John Lesta and Jose Quintana, both left-handed.
So,
I mean, I don't know I saw that, and I'm like, uh-oh, for you Cubs fans.
Immediately on the block for Los Gatos Negro, too, because
you can't have
a Cardinal on my team.
Can't have it. I'll be in touch. Maybe we can make a deal, maybe.
Hot stove.
That's right. Hot stove right here. And the winter meetings start Monday.
Yep.
So who knows what's going to happen? Everybody, all the Twitter is telling me that the White Sox are going to do something, and I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and everybody in the world is saying the Cubs are going to do nothing because apparently they're cash strapped now.
Not sure how that happens.
When
you're literally printing money.
Yes.
How are you cash strapped?
And not only are you printing money in Wrigley Field, you're printing money 3 blocks around Wrigley Field.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you own half the rooftops. You own the Zachary Hotel.
And Theo's done this before, where it's been completely silent, and then all of a sudden, hey, look who we have.
Right.
So I would believe that more than I would believe the Cubs
and,
standing
pat. And to be 100% honest with you, like what exactly do they need to do given their roster formation right now to be back at that level, right?
They need Joe to be a little different this year. No, and he, listen, man. He,
oh, Joe Madden. I'm sorry, but you're referring to me. I'm like, what? Oh, wait, Joe Madden, right? Right, sorry.
Yes. We're on a first name basis.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, so he actually came out and said, I need to teach baseball more than just talk about it, which
yeah.
I'm not sure if he came to that on his own or if that came directly out of Theo's mouth to his ear.
Right.
But yeah, it's like the philosophy's over now, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got guys that are fundamentally going backwards, and we can't have that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, I mean, like, what, in your eyes, what do they need?
Hey! What's this lying around shit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, do they need another starting pitcher? Do they need a reliever? Because apparently Morrow had elbow surgery that came out a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And he's going to be out until May or something like that.
And the dude that they got and stashed in the freezer is gone, right? They traded him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who and then get this.
They traded
from the Rays, right?
Here's another question. They yeah. got. They traded for Ronald Torres from the Yankees.
Okay.
And the dude, they non-tendered him.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out why you would trade for somebody and then non-tender them. Because I think they thought Torres was going to be a replacement for Addison Russell, or I don't know. Because, I mean, Addison Russell's got to go away, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I personally, I think so. I think you can't have a dude like that on your team.
No.
However, playing devil's advocate and I've been thinking a lot about this because of the way Theo's been acting, right?
Right.
If he stays, you've got to figure out what it is. Like right now he's going to therapy, right?
Right.
And trying to figure this out. And the only thing that makes sense to me and that I can put my arms around is if he didn't know what he was doing was wrong.
Yeah. Like Adrian Peterson.
When you punch somebody.
Yeah.
You're doing something wrong.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson still doesn't acknowledge.
By not giving them money,
yeah,
not giving them money or freezing them out, not talking to them.
That's mental abuse.
It is mental abuse.
100%.
But, you know, if you grew up in your household and that's the way things were, maybe that's just normal to you, right?
I guess so. Like Adrian Peterson.
I don't know.
Got the switch a lot, apparently, as a kid, and that's what he feels like he needs to raise his kids with. Like, I don't know, dude, but.
Ouch.
Yeah, exactly. But and then my White Sox again. I mean the White Sox.
Whoa! I said with all due respect. That doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want to say to me.
Sure as heck does.
No, it doesn't
it's
mean
in
that.
The Geneva Convention.
I think it does.
I think it does. It's in the Geneva Convention. I don't know if you heard this.
It is.
My Sox made a trade. They traded Omar Narvaez. Godspeed, Mr. Narvaez, to the Mariners for Alex Colomay. Their closer, which I'm kind of cool with because relievers are great things to trade for, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because if you're good, you need them.
Yeah.
And if you're bad, you can flip them. Just look what they did with half their bullpen last year. Like they traded Soria. They traded...
up to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Milwaukee, another Cub foe yesterday signs Jonathan Schoop.
Well,
re-signed him, yeah. So he'll be back for another whatever.
And I guess that's the hope of the Cardinal because they signed Goldschmidt traded for him for a year, and then he's a free agent.
Right.
So they just need to hope that he likes St. Louis, although...
Or he'll look around and go buy cracky and then leave.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. All true. But they are baseball's best fans. I don't know if you... saw this or heard about this.
Oh, they'll be the first to tell you and tweet about it.
Just ask them. That's right.
Yeah.
That's so right. They'd rather have Yadier Molina than Mike Trout.
I can't believe I just glazed right over you saying that Morrow had
elbow surgery.
Yep. So is he done for 19?
No. It was merely cleanup. It was not anything major. They just went in, and he must have had some bone spurs or something. But they said he'll be back. He won't be ready for the start of spring training. Which he
freaking do.
Exactly. So he'll be back in May or something like that, April or May.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he only played half a year last year, so.
Yeah. And one other thing that just dawned on me that we haven't talked about yet, Dabu.
Yeah.
They got a new coach.
Yeah.
Jim Boylan.
Yeah, Jimmy Boylan.
Yep.
Did you see the first game?
No, I did not.
He wanted, for like every basket,
yep.
He wanted the guys clapping.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, wow. And like cheerleading.
Well, I mean, he's got to do something different. Like,
I know.
You know? And apparently, Twitter told me that apparently the practice after the first game, they ran sprints for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Because apparently they're one of the most poorly conditioned teams he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So.
No, they absolutely were. And you could see it.
Yeah.
In that first game, because in the second half. And going to the cup, I think they had 5 free throws in the first half and 1 free throw in the second half.
Yeah.
So that's a team that's not.
You're not trying. Life. You're not being aggressive, right? You're just sitting back,
right.
And raining, I think it's shooting threes, they were and hoping
so
for the best.
Out of shape.
Yeah, they could be. They could be 100% out of shape. It may take a couple weeks to whip them back into shape, but I mean, they have the guy for the job, clearly. Yeah. So, I mean.
2.5 hours of lines.
Yeah, that's right. You're running lines for 2.5 hours. Good luck with that.
Until your feet bleed.
That's right. Until your feet bleed. So, coming up, Sunday. 2 short days as we record this.
Yeah, yeah.
Another Bears extravaganza. It's going to be great. They're going to play the Rams. It should be interesting. We get Mitch back. Mitch has been full participant in practice the last couple days, so he's going to be ready to go. We will be joined by a very special guest on an all-new Blossom. No, just kidding. Jose. Well, Jose will be joining us. So we will have Jason and me and Jose on Sunday night. We'll do like we did last time. Do a little pregame.
I gotta buy more scotch.
Pregame, yeah. You need more scotch. You should probably buy more scotch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm bringing down something. Just a taster for everybody. Yeah, you'll like it.
That.
Yeah, it'd be great. But at any rate, so we'll do another pregame. There'll be an A and a B show pregame, and then we'll do halftime and post. And we'll get that up ASAP after the game. And, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Rams are 3.5 point favorites. We'll see how they handle the cold. The weather for going to be December 10th or whatever fucking date's going to be, 9th.
Yeah.
Not super terrible. It's going to be in the mid-20s, I believe.
Yeah.
Mid-20s, no snow. It's going to be clear. So no quote-unquote bear weather. It's just going to be cold.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, everybody's saying that's going to favor the Bears, but that's bullshit because the Bears can't run the football.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they throw more than the Rams do.
Yes, they do.
And if they don't stop Gurley, if that front line can't
stop
him, it's going to be a long night.
Like Uncle Dougie said, right?
Yeah.
That's
stop the man with the skin of the pig.
That's right.
Little buddy.
I'm trying to find. I can't find it there anyway. I was going to look, try to find out what the rushing.
Oh, they have the internet on computers
they
now.
They do. The rushing stats for the Rams, how good they are against the run.
They're terrible.
The Bears, as a rule, are really good.
No. The Rams are terrible against the run.
Are they?
What makes me very sad is the Bears don't run the football anymore.
That's true. Well, they can't.
And they have you heard this? They're gonna. Have you heard this? Have you seen this?
Seen this here, brother?
They're bringing back Kyle Long because Kyle Long at 50% is better than anybody else that they can put in for him.
Really?
Yes.
That's odd to
ridiculous.
Me. Right?
Yes.
Like, not they couldn't put. Cush is hurt, right?
Well, he's lost his job. He's lost his job twice.
Oh, man. That's not good. The Rams, the Rams are fourth worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've given up 1,673 yards rushing. Only the Texans, Panthers, and Seahawks are worse. And the Bears are, looks like middle of the pack. They're 17th against the run. So, But the Rams are dog shit, so they have to. Howard and Tariq Cohen, you got to be ready. You got to be ready.
Howard, I just don't understand. I mean, they must have decided when they didn't re-sign him that he was done.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 yards fall down. 3 yards fall down. 3 yards bump into a lineman, fall down.
Like he had one nice run in New York. I mean,
I know.
He had a 10-yard run, and I'm like, oh, great, he's back. And then they never gave the ball to him again until it was second and goal, and then it was half-yard fall down.
Right. Exactly. Half yard fall down. Tariq Cohen will run 90 yards left or right and then 1 yard fall down.
No.
I know. I kid.
He'll get you four.
He'll get the pass. He'll receive a pass from Chase Daniel. Even though Chase Daniel's not playing, he's just going to look over to the sidelines looking for Chase number four and just, throw me the ball.
There was one play. I can't remember the name of the dude that just ate our ass on Sunday, the guy that got the pick six.
Yeah.
He deflected a pass. That was Alec Ogletree. Going
to Cohen. Alec Ogletree is our guy that did that.
That's right. Ogletree.
Ogletree? Yes. No. Oglethorpe. What with the litigation, the notoriety, his deportation back to Canada, that country's refusal to accept him. Well, it's been a trying year for Mr. Oglethorpe. That's my favorite part of the movie, by the way.
It's fantastic.
It's that movie. If you've not seen Slapshot, just because it's hockey and you watch the movie.
You have to.
It's one of the best. If not the best sports movie ever made. And that should be a topic.
Oh, what's in the team picture?
That's a good off season. Not after the Bears are over. Agreed. That's a good podcast episode. We'll save that one for the can for later.
Tom, write that down.
Yeah, Tom. Right. Tom. You don't even have a pencil and paper, already? Tom. Yeah, because he doesn't have a pencil and paper. He just points to his head like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Remember last time? Remember,
I know you don't have any hair.
Remember the Detroit incident? Yeah, nodding your head now, aren't you? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, you remember. Yeah, don't make me come over there.
I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass.
I'm 48 years old. I'll sit back and cower. man.
Is it time for to bring the coach?
Yeah, man. So I was incapacitated earlier this week, and Jason took over the reins, and he hooked us up with a coach hit, which I'm looking very forward to hearing. Talk about the bowl games, and I believe you talk about how Notre Dame is going to get killed by 50 by Clemson, right?
I think that was in there.
That was the main part of the conversation, right? And that's what you spent the bulk of the time is how much Notre Dame can get their ass beat.
Breaking it down.
Perfect. That's perfect. So we're going to throw it over to Jason and DeCoach, and then we'll come back and say our goodbyes. So here we go. Here's the coach.
Everybody talking about the young American.
And as you know,
knocking down walls like a bomb.
American. It's the coach. So here he is to tell us about how things ended up, bowl matchups, Heisman talk. But before we get to all that, we're going to talk about Mr. Urban Meyer retiring for the second time. For health reasons?
Yeah. Yep. He's got the cyst on his, I guess you would say, cyst on his brain. I don't want to make it sound too simple than what it is,
right.
but I'm also not a doctor, so
and you also don't believe him, so.
Well, no, I think I don't know that you lie about something like that.
No, I get you, but when he ran out of Florida because of health reasons, he ran right to Columbus.
He did. So some people are gonna, you know, sounds like you included, gonna raise an eyebrow to this. But it's one of those things, I guess time will tell.
Right.
You know, I watched the press conference today and someone flat out asked him if he ever expected to coach again. And he looked right in the camera and said, no.
Okay. Well, so, you know, you take it for what it's worth, I suppose, but I guess where I'm going with it is, does Ohio State say, hey, listen, you're done, right? With all this that happened, the 3-game suspension, whatever, if they kept looking into it, if more things were going to come out, I don't know. and maybe this was just a convenient way for him to bow out. Are they paying out his contract?
You know, I'm not sure what the language on stuff like that is when someone retires.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure there's no buyout. It's, you know, it's not a buyout type of situation or anything like that. So, you know, my guess is you just leave with the money you've been paid, and, you know, you don't owe anything back, and, right, you know, you lose out on whatever longevity bonus there would, you know, would have been in place or any of that kind of stuff. But I can't imagine that anybody really owes anybody any money other than, you know, I mean, he's going to coach the Rose Bowl. So if there's some sort of bonus, you know, for winning that game or something like that, but I can't imagine it's not pretty standard stuff. Again, from watching the press conference today, you know, everybody seemed to be on the exact same page with this. There was really no tension. No tension in the air between the three of them, really.
Okay. Well, I guess, and looking back, I mean, the NCAA is the one that suspended him for 3 games, right?
No, that was the school.
Was it the school?
Yeah.
And that was preemptive to keep the NCAA out of it, or?
Well, I'm not sure what the NCAA violation there would have been. I mean, because it was really just, I mean, the NCAA tends to just govern, you know, right, how schools interact with each other, or schools interact with recruits or student athletes.
Right. Or players. Yeah. I remember having this conversation at the beginning of the year.
I mean, and, you know, I'm not sure, you know.
No, yeah.
I'm not sure that he's really guilty of anything other than, you know, very, very bad judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, our top four, do you have any discrepancies there?
No, I think they got the right four. It's the four that I would have picked: Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. I really don't. I'm not sure how they came about it, but I think they got the right four. There was a lot of talk Saturday night on ESPN, especially, and Sunday morning even on ESPN, who are obviously partners with the SEC, that, you know, they're making the argument that Georgia not only should have been in, but maybe moved up to three, you know, they, even after a loss. Like, you know, their argument was that the loss, the game was so good that, you know, thing was, you know, it was such a great game, such a great environment, and that, you know, that Georgia probably is one of the four best teams. And that might be true. Right. Georgia might be one of the four best teams,
but they have two losses.
But they have two losses. The season's got to mean something. Right. Otherwise, just, you know, put them in September.
Right. No, I'm with you. But I'm the first to tell you that Georgia beats Oklahoma every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So
probably. But here's the thing. Oklahoma, Georgia, and Ohio State all probably beat Notre Dame.
Right.
So if we're going to have that, you know, if we're going to have that discussion about, well, should Georgia be in because they're one of the best four?
Right.
When.
And then there's a 2-year undefeated team that comes in number 8.
Yep. And not even getting close.
Not even getting close.
Not even getting close. Much to, is that Joe's disappointment? Was he the one? Who was the one last time pretty upset about that?
Yeah. He's more upset that Notre Dame's in, to be quite honest with you.
Well,
you know, I'm looking at this, though, and Georgia's given Texas 11 in a bowl game.
Yeah.
And the over-under on that's 58. That seems awfully high to me.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of scoring in that game, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it just kind of, it keeps that. And that's why I said at the beginning, I'm not really sure if I like how they came about it. I think it's time for more. I think it's time for more transparency. Right. Yeah. We've been through this thing 4 or 5 times now, and it seems like the rules are different.
Yeah. Every time.
Like, you know, Oklahoma, they say Oklahoma's in because, and this is in the interviews, you know, Sunday afternoon and into Sunday evening and stuff. You know, the committee says Oklahoma's in because of their record setting offense. And they totally dismiss that terrible defense.
Yeah.
And then when you ask them about Ohio State, who quite honestly probably has the second best offense right now in the country, know, a inch behind Oklahoma. You know, they point out Ohio State's inconsistencies on defense. You know, so it kind of applies to one school, but it doesn't to another. You know, this is the this is the third year in a row the Big Ten champ has been left out. This is the second year in a row that no Big Ten team has been in. You know, there's no, you know, there's some, you know, some Big Ten people are talking about, should we go back to eight conference games? Because these is nine conference games too much when other schools are only playing eight, like the SEC is only playing eight, you know, and Ohio State,
my old man insane.
Yeah. Ohio State. Well, remind him of this. That'll drive him even crazier. Ohio State last year lost a crossover game to Iowa. They lost a crossover game to Purdue. If the Big Ten goes to eight, those games probably aren't on the schedule. You know, you would take a crossover game off. And so Ohio State probably wins, you know, two MAC games, and 2 years in a row, now they're undefeated and in the playoff.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, I mean, you look at the strength of schedule out of the conference for the SEC schools, and it's not even close to the same.
No, it's pretty sad.
You know, and if you go through and you compare, like, how many Big Ten schools play 10 Power 5 conference games compared to the SEC, you know, that's not even close. But I don't know. You know, it'll come down to how upset the Big Ten wants to be about it.
Right. Well, and that was the thing. They said that if the Big Ten got shut out again this year, there's going to be six or eight teams next year. And I think that's too soon. I don't think you could expand it that quickly. Do you?
I don't know the details of the TV contracts and how that would work. But I would not say that's impossible.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't say it's impossible. If they think there's a way to make more money, they will all agree to whatever change is necessary.
Well, I don't know. As long as it's the what's best for the kids, Bill, because that's all college sports all cares about.
Yes.
They're student athletes.
Student athletes.
That's right. So we mentioned Texas getting 11 from Georgia. Oklahoma's getting 14 from Alabama. And the 79 points for their over-under might all be Alabama, to be quite honest. Oklahoma's defense is so bad.
Yeah, that's going to be a really high-scoring game. That's going to be a really fun game, I think. It's going to be really interesting to see. We haven't seen too many times that kind of SEC defense line up against a true air raid offense, you know, run at an elite level. That's going to be an interesting, that's big on big. That's good on good.
It's not the Red Raiders coming at you. It's the Sooners. So
yeah, this is really going to be, that's from a football geek standpoint, changing up, you know, schemes and coverages and route combinations and stuff. That's going to be pretty interesting stuff. And it's also going to feature, and I'm sure this will get a ton of media coverage, right? Those are going to be the two that finish 1-2 in the Heisman at quarterback. Both quarterbacks are playing at super elite levels. You know, they're setting records in ESPN's QBR rankings. Their passer efficiency stuff is through the roof. It's really going to be something to see.
So you think Haskins is out, just not even in the conversation?
Well, he's a finalist. You know, he's one of the three that got invited, but I think he's third. The race is between Tua and Kyler.
And Kyler really made his bones in that game against Texas, right? I mean, last three games he had were just crazy.
Yeah, a month ago, this was a layup. Everybody said Tua.
Yeah.
But he's kind of come back to the pack, and Kyler has really finished strong. And the ironic thing about it is, of the three of them, now he hasn't declared yet, but of the three of them, Haskins might be the first one taken in the draft.
Wow.
there's some people, you know, I've seen some projections and stuff, you know, people are talking about he might be the first pick in the draft.
Huh.
So
I heard somebody, there was somebody else that's sitting out of the bowl, well, somebody big Bosa. That
are I thought was going to be going first. Are you talking about Bosa, the defensive end from Ohio State? He got hurt middle-ish of the year.
No, I thought it was somebody from LSU, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. Nice research, Jay. Good story. Big fan of the program.
Big fan.
Yeah. So Michigan is giving points to Florida. That game would have been good 10 years ago, probably. Penn State and Kentucky. Is Kentucky ever going to finish second again? Is that like amazing? They're 9-3, I think.
Yeah. Well, and again, back to just give me a chance to beat up on the committee a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, they're finished. You know, they're ranked 14th. They're ranked four slots behind Georgia, a team they beat.
Yeah.
You know, both teams finished 9-3. Kentucky has a better record. Both teams finished 9-3. But yet Florida finishes four slots ahead.
Ridiculous.
You know, so I don't know how they, you know, they got a Washington State team that is, you know, everybody really likes it. They're 10-2 and they're 13th and they're ranked behind I'm counting them now. 1, 2, 3, 4 teams with three losses.
Huh.
But, you know, whatever. Until we get a little transparency and some explanations and really just somebody write down specifically what the rules are. Cause they have guidelines.
Yeah.
And some of this is also at the top is also caused by an undefeated Notre Dame.
That's true.
If you don't think
that's absolutely true.
If you don't think that's going to happen very often, then you don't have a ton of worry.
You won't have this. Yeah. And then, you know, on the lesser bowls, down the line, honestly, it too travels well. That's all it is. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Another football geek game that you, similar to what you were talking about earlier, the Utes against the Wildcat. The Utes are given Northwestern 7.
Yes.
And the over-under in that one's 45.
Yes.
Because it's going to be punch them in the mouth, grind it out, who's offensive versus defensive line. That game's won in the trenches.
Absolutely. Utah played in the Pac-10 title game last week. If I remember correctly, yes, the score was 10-3, and the only touchdown was a defensive touchdown.
There you go.
So that's what Utah's offense is bringing to the party. That'll
be a good game.
Yeah, I'll watch.
The Hawkeye are getting 6 against Mississippi State.
Yes.
And is that New Year's Day?
That's New Year's Day.
Nice.
That's a good example of a fan base, right? Because there's a few teams with Northwestern, quite frankly, has a better record than Iowa, at least in the conference. They have a better record. And Northwestern beat Iowa head to head. But Iowa got the little better bowl bid based on, you know, fans traveling and filling hotel rooms. Now, I believe Northwestern's going to San Francisco, though, so that's a pretty nice location, too. I think it worked out. No,
San
Diego. Excuse me, San Diego. Even better, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, for the most part, the Big Ten teams are underdogs. There's only two or three probably that are favorites.
Ohio State's favorite. They're giving 5.5 to Washington.
Yeah, I would imagine the big three are favorites. I would imagine Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan are the favorites. Yeah. Everybody else is probably an underdog.
Yep.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll probably talk about them as, you know, when they get closer. But so much of these bowls are just motivation. You know, which team really wants to be there? Which team's on a nice trip?
Yeah. The Badgers getting three in a chair from Miami.
That'll be a really good example because those are two teams that had much higher expectations at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they did.
right? Some people talked about Miami definitely was going to, you know, push Clemson for the title. You know, I don't think many people thought they would beat Clemson, but, you know, they'd be in the hunt. They weren't all year. Mm-hmm. Some people had, Sports Illustrated had Wisconsin on the cover going to the playoff. And so, you know, here are these two teams that greatly have underachieved. And so your trip, your prize is to go play outside in New York City.
Nice.
So, you know.
Oh, that's a corrections corner. I'm glad you brought that up.
Why?
The Huskies.
Yes.
I laughed. I'm like, okay, great. So you on the Mac. Good for you. You get to go and play in Detroit. They do not.
Oh.
UAB versus Northern at the Boca Raton Bowl.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. How exciting for them.
How exciting for them.
Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah. So, but it, hey, man, it's better than.
Yeah.
It's absolutely better than playing in the Silver Dome.
Right. Well, and the MAC title game is in Detroit still, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You can't go Detroit back to back.
You can't go Detroit back to back. That's absolutely correct. Gosh, I'm trying to look at anybody else that's jumping out at me. Oh, Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Row the boat.
Yeah. Taking on the Tech. Uh-huh. Rambling wreck. Auburn and Purdue. Purdue's getting 4.5.
Yep, that could be a fun game if you like offense. That we'll see. If Auburn finally gets it together, you know, Purdue is going to move the ball. That could be a fun game.
Yeah, and, you know, Purdue, you were so surprised that they were considered like they were going to be third.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten this year. And they, you know, they had way over speculated there. But, I mean, they and the Hawkeyes pretty much ended up even, didn't they?
Purdue, I believe, finished 6-6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If I have that right, Purdue finished 6-6. They're like the most exciting 6-6 foot, you know, team in America.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, with, you know, whipping Ohio State at home. They scored a bunch of points in that Iowa game. That's a pretty good 6-6. Pretty good 6-6 team. But that'll be a really good example too of, you know, who's more motivated. You know, because Purdue, they're on the uptick, right? Jeff Brom, year two, we're in a bowl, six wins, couple of good wins this year versus Auburn, who, you know, they're used to better than this.
Right.
You know, you don't go to Auburn to play in the Music City Bowl against Purdue.
No, you don't.
That's not what they have in mind.
No, that's not your Cam Newton Superman shirt. That's not what that says. Oh, and Sparty gets the Duck. They get two in a chair against the Duck in the Red Box Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That'll, God, that looks low scoring too. 48.
Yes.
The over under there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happened to Oregon's offense?
They just haven't been very consistent. They've been, especially on a line of scrimmage. Some days they're really effective at running the ball and other days they're not, which is going to kind of play right into Michigan State, right? Michigan State D line's pretty good. Those two tackles are very good. Mm-hmm. You know, for most of the season, they had one of the best rushing defenses in the country. Now their offense is bad, but that's way to get a low scoring, you know, over under prediction there.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, the Horned Frog against the Golden Bear of Cal is a pick'em. Huh. Interesting.
Could be another good motivation question, right?
I guess.
TCU used to playing in games maybe a little bigger than this. Cal. Right. I believe second year with their coach, you know, trending up. Hey, you know, not used to making a bowl. They're excited to be in one. TCU, used to making a bowl, disappointed maybe this isn't what they're used to.
That's an excellent point. Well, are there any other thoughts for us, my friend?
Let's see. We talked about Urban, the Heisman, some of the playoff stuff, some of the Big Ten stuff. I think that's it. Let's, you know, yeah, I think that'll cover it. We can talk later maybe about some of the coaching changes.
I'll tell you what, why don't we do a hit after the bowl games and we can talk coaching changes and what's going on for next year. But how much of a drop off are they going to have? The Buckeye, I'm saying.
Here's the thing, and this is, they're going to have some drop off.
Okay.
Because they were at a historic level.
Yeah.
Like, Urban Meyer has got one of the five best winning percentages in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
Right? You can be great and still not be that good.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to have a little bit of a drop off. I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about him and Nick Saban probably being the two best coaches of the since we were like in high school, the two best coaches of modern college football. Okay. Okay. Well, you can't just lose that and keep right on where you're going. Now, is Ohio State going to be ranked in the top 10 next year? Yes. Are they going to compete for the Big Ten title? Yes. Are they going to be in the national conversation? Yes. So, it's not like they're going to stink, okay?
Right.
But you can't talk about someone being one of the all-time greats, losing that person, and then all of a sudden there's no drop-off. I mean, there has to be a little bit of a drop-off. You know, as weird as that sounds,
right. But the goal at an anchor school like an Ohio State or a Michigan is that you're always in that conversation, right? No matter who your coach is.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless you're Rich Rodriguez and then you get shown the door pretty quickly.
Hey, and they said that in the press conference today, you know, and Urban Meyer joked about it when he was looking at the reporters and when he was looking at, the people asking the questions. You know, he said the expectation at Ohio State is to, he said, beat your rival up north, win the Big Ten, win all of your other games, graduate all your players, and have them all get jobs. Oh, and then your elite players all have to be draft picks. Like, the expectation is do everything all the time.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. I mean, and I've heard Lou Holtz give a inspirational talk, and he said basically at Notre Dame, if you didn't win the national championship, you had a bad year.
Right. No, that's exactly it.
And that's just unfair.
Right. You know, and so, you know, Ryan Day is, you know, he's everybody thinks he's going to do great. He's a hot young coach. He was interviewed by a couple of places last year. His name's been mentioned in NFL circles for possible coordinator positions. You know, there's no doubt that he is a great candidate for this job, and he could be the head coach for at Ohio State for the next 15 years, and they could be great for the next 15 years and still not be as good as they were.
Wow.
You know, because they've just been Urban Meyer is on the Mount Rushmore. You know, if you're talking about modern, if you're talking about, you know, like college football 1960 to today, you know, the game looks kind of like we're used to it looking. I'm not talking about, you know, leather helmets and black and white still photos, and none of us ever saw any of those guys play or anything like that, you know.
Right. I know. So you're saying, but you even go back to Woody Hayes and Bear Bryant and those cats, you're saying.
Yeah. Urban is right there, if not ahead of all of those guys.
Sure.
I think I saw a stat yesterday in the relatively the same time period. Everybody talks about Nick Saban. And, you know, and listen, I'm not taking anything away from Nick Saban, but I'm pretty sure right now, similar time periods, Urban Meyer has one more win than Nick Saban.
Wow.
So if you're winning as much or close to Nick Saban, you're winning a lot of football games.
Yeah.
I think he lost 5 games at Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Wow. Yeah. I know he never lost to Michigan.
No.
And on that note.
Okay.
We will. We'll talk to you on down the trail, my friend. And if we had another 2 hours to chat, we could talk about Fred Hoiberg, but nobody's got that kind of time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, we're back real quick to say our goodbyes. Great job by Jason and the coach there. Sounded great. Insight. Content. Thank you, sir. Fantastic job, Jason. I commend you 100%.
Hey, I don't remember saying that.
It was far better than anything I could have done, tell you that for free.
Yeah.
So
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Hit that again.
Yeah, okay. So Sunday, we're doing pregame. We're doing halftime. We'll do a pregame, part A. We'll do a halftime and post game, so we'll have an A and a B show next in the next episode.
Well, it'll be, I'll need some beer. Oh
yeah, we're gonna need some beer. I may bring some, maybe some really good ones. We'll see. We'll do, like I said, pregame, A show, halftime, and a game, B show. We'll put them both up. That as soon as we're done with them recording, we'll make them MP3s and put them up. So yeah, then the clock on the wall. It's time to end this episode of It's That Podcast, episode 37. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/itsthatpod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J, the letter. Sleet Shirley. You can find us. You can email us if you'd like. My email address is joe@itsthatpodcast.com. Jason is jason@itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Alexa, just by saying, hey, Alexa, play It's That Podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this power-packed, information-packed episode of It's That Podcast, and we will see you Sunday night for the Bears. And we'll see you next time on It's That Podcast. Fuck the Packers. Oh, and by the way, fuck Mike McCarthy. Here you go.
Yeah, fuck Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, hit the bricks, douchebag.
Deuces. Taillights.
Get the hell out of here. All right, we'll see you next time.
You know what, though?
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, sorry. You know what's funny is they brought him back. He got to address the team.
Oh, Jesus.
Yesterday.
That's bad.
I know. How weird is that?
Don't do that. Don't do that ever. No. Just go. Just go. Hit the bricks. Deuces. Taillights. Audi 5000. All right. That's it for this episode of It's That Podcast. Fuck the Packers. I am that way.